The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
We welcome you to Sunday public worship at Marsh Chapel. Masking and vaccination are required and expected here. Today, our prayerful research at the interplay of music and word, Bach and experience, begun in 2008, advances yet another stanza. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God.
Thank you.
we pray together. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the Epistle of St. James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 124 with the antiphon. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And now, beloved, rise up in body as you are able, but certainly in heart, for the singing of the Gloria and the reading of the Gospel.
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Time and space are not quite as absolute in determination of our being as sometimes we think. It helps to have a bifocal, a stereoptic vision, a two-level drama of sorts. That is the nature of the New Testament, shot through from Matthew to Revelation with apocalyptic language and imagery. Our Holy Scripture, both holy and scripture, is both heaven and earth. It is both sacred and secular at the same time, both divine and human. Its word walks with human feet and sings with a divine voice. Its word faces earth as we face our country this day, 675,000 souls gone on to the church triumphant in one country alone, in 1 year and a half alone. Its word, the word of Holy Writ, sings with a divine voice. Each one of these is a child of the living God. The apocalyptic warnings of Mark chapter 9 are not to be taken literally. We know this. We know about hyperbole. Let us pause one good moment to recognize that and why, and so we do not understand the Bible as utterly inerrant. The Bible is inspired, and so inspires us, and is our first point of reflection, prototypical, not archetypical, first, but not exclusive in the church's long history of the search for truth. And these verses, Mark 9, harsh and judgmental, need careful interpretation. So Matthew cuts half of them in his use of Mark 20 years afterward. So Luke cuts all of them in his use of Mark 20 years later. And even Mark himself shifts the weight from fear to hope, even in this passage, as he wrestles to interpret what he has inherited from whatever source. Be salt, have peace among yourselves. Who is not against us is for us. So it is particularly appropriate this special Sunday that we hear a cantata, a beautiful gem of sacred music. In our time, to express a faith amenable to culture and a culture amenable to faith, to unite the pair so long disjoined, knowledge and vital piety, we have box music in this beautiful 16-minute poem. For all our fears of heaven and earth, it does ring out a note of hope. It does sing out a note of hope, does it not? Dr. Jarrett, for what shall we listen today, we who remember St. Augustine's proverb, hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage?
You will hear a stereoptic vision, two-level drama, apocalyptic language and imagery, courage, anger, hope, all. Today's cantata is based on music that Bach wrote for the Feast of St. Michael, which is celebrated each year in late September. With its fantastic images of Michael, the archangel, slaying Lucifer, the old dragon, these surely must have come as welcome reprieve from the more didactic lessons on the weight of sin that marked the liturgical calendar in late summer for Bach. Bach's musical essays written for Michaelmas proved daring innovation, bravura, and an astonishing capacity for both imagery and imagination. After a year of testing out the capabilities of the very fine Leipzig musicians, including chief of the local Stadtpfeifer, Gottfried Reicher, Bach boldly deploys all his singers and players with confidence and ease. The whole of today's cantata, number 130, is framed around Paul Eber's chorale, Herr Gott, dich loben alle wir, known to the English-speaking world as the doxology, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, our opening hymn today. Consistent with other cantatas from the second Leipzig cycle, the chorale tune is heard in long tones in the soprano part throughout the first movement. But despite the familiarity and prominent position of this famous tune, Bach's newly composed music, played by the instruments from the beginning, both colludes and collides with the chorale in one of the most thrilling, majestic, and playful openings in all of the cantatas. The inner movements remind us that though Lucifer was defeated by Michael and cast down from heaven, he still burns with deceit and torment for God's little ones here on earth. The tail of the serpent ensnares us at any time without notice or warning. Only the eternal presence of God's angels all around us assures both protection but also victory. We are reminded that it was Michael who was with Daniel and who ushered Elijah to the throne of grace on a fiery chariot, and that just like them, when we journey to heaven, Michael, the standard bearer, will safely guide us. Both of the arias in today's cantata are bold departures with regard to instrumentation and style for this Leipzig cantor. I challenge you to find other examples of trumpets and timpani deployed as the obbligato instrument for a bass aria executed with the style and the caprice of today's example of the bass aria. Johann Sebastian Bach and his trumpeter Gottfried Reicher must have had a wonderful regard for one another. Today, Professor Terry Everson plays the heroic parts over and around Craig Jurica's baritone. Whether the tail of the serpent or the brandished saber of Michael, this marks one of the most difficult and exciting uses of these instruments. The tenor aria sung today by Ethan Dupuy features flauto traverso, played by Jessica Lysak. The flauto traverso was new to Bach in Leipzig. Previously, he had written for a recorder, and so this is an innovation for Bach he just learned about in the past year. Cast in a pastoral gavotte, this is a new style, and we are assured that Michael will be with us to the end. Today is stereoptic. It is multivalenced. There are double visions. There are double meanings. There's heaven. There's earth. And for us, this is the first cantata that we've performed in 18 months, a newly rejoined together choir and ensemble, the first time our collegium has been with us, and it means something new. We have performed the other two St. Michael cantatas previously at Marsh. This is the first time for Cantata 130, and I can't think of a more fitting opening to our cantata series as we welcome back our musicians and the Bach experience. It's indeed a cause for celebration and a need to sing the doxology with St. Michael.
Dr. Jarrett, thank you so much. For we, those who have paused here now to worship at Marsh Chapel, we in the last decade are aware that we lift the gospel come these Cantata Sundays in word and music together, juntos, together, in harmony. Bach brings us the reach of beauty around the globe, a global sphere of orientation. Bach brings us a stretch toward the universal, the reach up and out to what fully lasts, truly matters, and really counts. Bach brings us an artistic angle of vision rooted in scripture and in an earlier Lutheran garden, nonetheless known by heart and in the heart, far and near, with those today, you and me, who will pause for the offering of the gift of faith. Bach brings us beauty, a pain for sure to the true and the good, but no avoidance of the beautiful. In our time and in this hour, especially this week, we can truly appreciate, benefit from such a global orientation, a high universal reach, a feeling in faith, and the bathing of such beauty. Given the maelstrom of this moment in our current climate, our current politics, our current globe, our current culture, the wind blasts of charge and countercharge, the examples of courage and also instances of failures in courage near and far, we come Sunday, maybe especially this Sunday, maybe for you especially this Sunday, to look for the God who is a rock in a weary land. Said Dr. Emily Towns, we want to cultivate a vibrant community of hope. We hope to beget an ever more piercing faithfulness. An ever more piercing faithfulness, yes. Today we receive the gift in memory of the faith of the church, and we give ear to the beauty of our first Bach cantata of the year, and we are truly blessed. All the senses, sight, sound, scent, touch, taste, are enlivened today. And this is truly good news, especially for those who may be in mortal need of a living reminder in this hour, as the scripture says, that we are children of God, that you are a child of the living God. For we can sometimes acutely need such a reminder of meaning, belonging, and empowerment. In the day and even at night, for we are acquainted with the night. You and I are acquainted not only with sunshine, but also with darkness, as our New England poet memorably put it. I have been one acquainted with the night. I have walked out in rain and back in rain. I have outwalked the furthest city light. So it is particularly appropriate this special Sunday that we hear a cantata, a beautiful gem of sacred music. It is angelic music written to harmonize with the music of the spheres, to recall the angels of Scripture, the revelations of Scripture, the heavenly messages and messengers of Scripture, a worthy work to honor St. Michael and all the angel chorus. Amen.
Thank you.
We cantat pisora, one who sings, prays twice. Will you join me in offering our thanks and gratitude to our choristers, instrumentalists, and director this morning? That draws us to what is distinctive and better and best in life, we are most thankful. Let us continue to worship together by presenting our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
for the work before us, for the life within us, for the fellowship among us, for thy love that surrounds us. We give thee thanks, O Lord. Bless these gifts and the givers, we pray, in Christ. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. May the sun show warm and bright on you, your darkest night a star shine through, your dullest morn a radiance brew, and when dusk comes, God's hand to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be and abide with each one of us now and always. Amen.